Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of NIMFET Alumni. I'm Biz. I'm with Sam and Alexi. And this week, we're discussing the rise of Mass Silly from the impact of Drake debuting his adorable alter ego, Anita Maxwen, to the rise of cute forward hypewear, to honestly why silly-ass white boys are suddenly doing dances in crews on TikTok, and also all the different influences that are going into this through silly white boy history, and also things like the influence of mid-2000s ringtone rap. So shall we start by discussing what really inspired this episode, guys?
I think it just kind of started once Drake dropped the Anita Maxwen video and it kind of took over the world. I started seeing it spray painted, graffitied all over the city the day after that happened. It really shook the world, turned it on its head. I started also seeing a lot of TikToks of dancing fellas. Like, I started noticing that a lot of the TikTok dance trends were male dominated all of a sudden. Notably, Evan DeGroot, who is known as like the Playboy Cardi unk, I think, who does a bunch of like silly dances in little frog ear hoodies to both Kanye and Playboy Cardi, and his friend Max, who is also a silly dancer on TikTok. And beyond that, there was also a bunch of other kind of like funky white boys that were taking over my feed, notably Jersey Joe, Hugo Hilaire, the That's My Dog guy. And I was like, something's happening here. And so we started discussing it and decided to bring this vibe to the forefront and predict some things, unpack some things, you know? Yeah. I have a whole like graphical breakdown of what I think is fueling the funky white boy renaissance. Like, I think it's like Anita Maxwen's school of song and dance. And there's like, these are the thought leaders in the school. The Drake division is Zach Bia and Yeet, who is currently under fire for getting the sillies with Zach Bia and ruining his mysterious guy image. But my take is that you have to kind of get the sillies as a rapper in the modern day if you want to be successful. And kind of within the same Drake school, Laundry Day, who is a band that's been getting pretty silly on TikTok. And then there's the Playboy Cardi division, which is, again, Evan DeGroot, Max. And I kind of put Jersey Joe, Hugo Hilaire, and That's My Dog guy in the miscellaneous division. But I think it's like a whole school of thought that's kind of emerging.
It is. I mean, I love dance and movement. And I feel like I'm like a movement historian of TikTok because I've just been on the platform like since it was Musical.ly. And at that point, it was like so purely music based. Like, there was no educational content. There were no like makeup creators. Like, everyone was really just doing movements to songs because that was the only capability that the app had. And I really see this, like the Max Evasion, Evan DeGroot dance style, as a convergence of two movement styles that have been separate on TikTok for a really long time. The first is like the classic TikTok dance from like 2020, like the Charli D'Amelio, Addison Rae dance challenge era, like Renegade, Savage by Megan Thee Stallion. The kind of like simple, like sign language-esque movements where you're just like doing hand and arm symbols and like dancing to lyrics rather than music. But the second, which I feel like is really influential, is like the cosplayer movement slash looking animated era, in which cosplayers would do these very interesting manipulations of time and space to create these like stop motion or glitchy or like velocity edit dynamic videos where the movement often is influenced by the music rather than lyrics, which obviously like people saw as kind of cringe, but there's something undeniably satisfying about watching people move in this way. And I think this new dance style from the Anita Maxwen School of the Arts and Humanities is really bringing something together. Also, what feels influential is like the Usher Super Bowl, because Usher literally like glitched out on the stage. And yeah, a lot of these like silly white boys are making videos, I think, in 2x speed, where like there's just something so, it's like watching a Lego stop motion video, but also like watching, like, I don't know, something about their combination of like effortlessness. Like, they're all very straight faced and like they don't seem like they're exerting that much energy, but the holistic effect is just so transfixing. Like, we really can't look away.
Yeah. Like, the Hugo Hilaire, to me, that has me kind of in a chokehold, because I think I've seen that video probably 100 times. It's so soothing to me. I'll look at it before bed and, like, watch it, like, 5 times in a row and then drift off to sleep and have happy dreams of that one song that plays whenever he's dancing. But I feel like it really speaks to how that video of the white guy dancing to African music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. It really speaks to how impactful that was. I feel like that kind of, like, changed the world. There's a bunch of different, like, internet elements that came together in this, like, maelstrom of silly dancing that we're going to talk about further.
Yeah, I mean, white boy who can dance, surprisingly, or, like, damn, that white boy can dance-esque reactions seem to be one of the, like, most historic forms of content on the internet. Like, it's, like, one of the most consistent pathways to virality online. Like, one of the most viral, or one of the first viral YouTube videos, which came out, like, 17 years ago, was the Evolution of Dance Guy, where it's, like, a white guy who literally looks like Hank Hill, who's, like, busting it down through the decades. There was also the, like, Backpack Kid, who's, like, also straight-faced, silly dancer who, like, got on stage during SNL with Katy Perry. And something about his demeanor still feels very relevant, which, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think people think he's cringe now just because of, like, he's very skinny. Like, and I think that is not the wave of these guys now, because they're all wearing, like, baggy clothes and have, like, it is, like, a Lego-esque body type that's being glorified in this scene.
And yeah,
the baggy clothes have a sort of like a very beautiful fabric effect whenever they're dancing,
when they're,
like,
dancing.
It's moving with them, you know, it has, like, a sort of animated,
it's like a Shen Yun.
Yeah, exactly vibe. It feels like I'm watching, yeah, Shen Yun. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's talk about some of the stylistic elements, because I think obviously we're going to get into sort of more of the historical precedent for this trend and this vibe, but I think contemporarily, I think it's, like, very cute forward, which is interesting, mm-hmm, to me. This morning, maybe, like, an hour ago, Megan Thee Stallion just, like, posted a bunch of photos of herself in, like, little bunny ears. And she was promoting the hell out of those bunny ears, posting, like, TikToks with them. It's smelling like a rebrand. And she also kind of, like, went to the Crunchyroll Anime Awards and presented the award for best anime. But anyways,
that's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's so random, but it makes sense.
It does, yeah.
In a certain way. Like, she does kind of seem like she has, like, something kind of, like, nerdy about her, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the cute forward hype wear, I think, has been coming to the forefront of the mainstream, obviously because of Cardi fans. Cardi just released the music video for Evil Jordan, which is a really good song. And there is a Hello Kitty mug featured in it for literally, like, 0.8 seconds. I measured it. 0.8 seconds. It was featured in the music video. And it was an absolute ruckus that was caused by Cardi fans. Like, everybody was posting about it. There was tons of op-eds about it. Everyone was like, it's Hello Kitty time now. And people started buying, like, Hello Kitty merch and Hello Kitty mugs because Cardi took a sip of something out of the mug. And he also had this sort of, like, dark Kuromi cosplay with his Hood by Air Anonymous Club dunce cap, which is, like, the little bunny ears, like, devil cap. And Kuromi is, like, the little evil dark bunny from the Hello Kitty universe. And it does feel like a little derivative of Echo 2K. Like, I think I'm not that much of a drainer. I don't know that much about being a drainer, but it does feel like he is taking a lot of cues from Echo 2K in this new, like, kind of goth phase that he's embodying. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Yes. Well, I feel like it's really hard to track now, like, the patient zero for, like, alternative rap, even though there obviously is one. But I agree, I think he's definitely looking at, like, Drain Gang. But also, one, it's like they're so far behind the, like, Hello Kitty ACAB girls.
Yeah.
Two,
yeah.
I think even though this is a very lighthearted type of movement and way of dressing, Cardi's label Opium is such, like, a huge reference stylistically and musically for a lot of this content. And I just think it's interesting because the Opium aesthetic is, like, really defined by, like, all black, Rick Owens, Raf Simons, Chrome Hearts with goth and punk elements. And there's always been an intersection of combining kind of darker, more alternative fashion, obviously with anime references and kind of, like, kawaii and stuff like that. But I guess that's becoming more and more prominent within specifically people that look to Cardi as a reference. So it feels like a turning point, because obviously these two dark and like light factors have been combined for years now. But now that I guess he's done it in a really, I guess, public way, kind of officiated it to his really engaged fans.
Yeah, his crazed fans are really causing a ruckus.
Yeah, I feel like in the same way that like girls make these word salad posts where they're like, I'm so like, I don't even remember how to do this anymore because I don't really see them on the For You page. So I'm literally on like the boy side of TikTok where it's just like, I'm so Karomi pilled, like sweetheart, like 824. I don't fucking know. Like the coquette version of the word cloud. I feel like I see a lot that are like, I'm so like vampire Ken Carson, opium, like whatever, drain gang. And that is like the male version of the year of the girl type stuff.
Yes, it really is. It's the year of the silly boy, I think.
Wow. They just weren't silly at first, though. Opium was so dark. That was the whole thing.
It's very dark and intimidated. And I feel like it's a weird convergence of like something about like SoundCloud musicians that like get really big. It just all feels very competitive because there's like this underground, like gatekeepy, like who was a real fan, like who was there before they blew up, who's like a mainstream like follower. It all felt very intimidating, but I think the silliness is letting the people free because it's just like, if you can bust a move, as Max Evasion says, like who's gonna stop you? Like,
it's true. Yeah, the bust a move
movement.
Yeah, it's funny because the bust a move movement, and which is like really the term, I guess, because of that format that they're doing a really good job of promoting.
They also make belt buckles, which is such like a Chief Keef thing, like doing that pose where you're like pulling up your hoodie over the belt buckle.
I'm so excited to talk about Chief Keef dressing. But yeah, like it's interesting because obviously, this has like a little classic elements of hype wear. It's just so cute forward and almost like randomized. Like I've seen a lot of animal ears jackets. Like there's this Creature World jacket that I've been seeing
Danny
a lot.
Yeah, the Danny Cole stuff. They collab with the Bust a Move people. They had this like party in New York and I'm really jealous I didn't go because like Evan DeGray and like all of them were there. And I was like, I just want to put on this little monkey hat and join them so badly. Yeah. The Creature World stuff is really, really cute.
Yeah, it is. It's very gay little monkey, but like for... It's like, I just like love it, you know?
They're always wearing so much stuff on their head. Like they're always wearing like a hat and like a hoodie like a scarf on top. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. And then like the Kerwin Frosk McDonald's Friday clogs. I feel like this is, is where those clogs are everywhere. And I feel like that's where it gets into this other territory, which is very like Shed Theory-esque, like schizo pirate dressing. You know what I mean? Like it's very, Shed Theory is like, it's like Joey, like his little crew or whatever. Yeah, they all have a specific style of dressing. That's very interesting. Click here. Look at that link that I put.
Why did I think that Shed Theory is literally like a theory?
I did too. I was like, it's like schizoanalytic theory.
Yeah, I thought it was giving like Deleuze.
Yeah, same.
They're like a music crew. No, it's not. So many crews. It must be Deleuzian in some sense.
We definitely need to have a section where we talk about the crew in this episode.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the crew love.
So true. That's crazy. Yeah, exactly. Oh, but actually, go on.
Okay, I'm going to click on this. Even though Biz said it scared the hell out of her.
it's like a textural nightmare.
Okay, it's loading.
It's very like Luke Blovad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Yeah. The photo that Alexi is looking at is by this guy. I'm scared to like say his name. Jake John Howard, who I guess sells sunglasses or something. I think he's like a Shed Theory person. I don't know that much about this stuff. I just get it on my like.
So negative.
Yeah, people are really mean about it. But yeah, there's just sort of like a more Minion or DaBob element or like Rick and Morty-esque. And I feel like the Bust a Move chapter of this is more like Fortnite-esque, you know? And I feel like there's kind of like a divergence between Minion or DaBob and Rick and Morty and Fortnite. Like whoever like has more influence from one or the other, like they kind of like get sectioned off into their little camps. I don't know if that makes any sense or if that was like literally an insane take.
You're really at the forefront of whatever is going on here,
Sam. No, I know. Like, oh my God, you are the chairman of Anita Max Wen.
I don't know why I just got so obsessed with this, but
no, it's no, cool. I want to interject. It's giving me gender envy
for real.
Like, do you guys think this has something to do with the simultaneous he's so baby girl? What is it? Is that what it is?
Baby girlification? Honestly, yeah. Like, hell no. Like,
yeah, really? No.
Like, it's a completely different thing. Jacob Elordi wearing, like, a Chanel purse versus, like, someone wearing monkey ears. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, like, the female versus the male gaze. I think that this stuff, like, I don't know how I feel about it, like, on a pure... Okay, for one example, Max Evasion, like, I followed him for, like, over a year. Like, I know his silhouette. I, like, recognize him. But I recently saw a video that was, like, just his face. And, like, he wasn't even wearing a silly outfit. And I was like, I literally have no idea what you look like. Do you know what I mean? Like, all of these people are, like, actual figurines who are, like, mannequins with, like, piles and piles of stuff on them. So I think it's really divorced from, like, any type of sexual attraction or like objectification. Like, it really is just pure silliness, and I think that's why it's sparking so much joy, is because I'm like, you know, it just feels like separate from the like the gender wars, like the battle of the sexes of it all. Like, it's just, I don't know, I think it's the childlike element of it. It's kind of like schoolyard antics. It also feels very familial, just like the crude nature of it. Like, I feel like I'm watching my cousin dance.
Yeah, this is very much like it feels, whenever I watch these videos on TikTok, I feel like my child just is at a sleepover party with their cousins and they're like showing me the dance.
Exactly. To be fair,
I do think that has something to do with the proportion of the clothes as well, though, because we will get into like the Soulja Boy style of dressing. But when someone's like wearing oversized clothes and they're a boy, it like, it really desexualizes them. I feel.
I don't know. To me, I think it has a lot of swag.
Oh, no, I think it has swag too, but I think that's why it looks like a child sleepover, because they're literally wearing like their big jammy shirts, you know?
Jammy shirts. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like what the most objectifying clothes men can wear are. And it's honestly like a button down that's really unbuttoned, or a wife beater, or like when guys stretch a little bit and their shirt rides up. I feel like that's the stuff that's like at the core of baby girlification and like slow motion gifs and shit. Yeah, like, and they're not they're not likely to be thirst trapping us like that, but they are creating a love surge in their own way. Like, it's more powerful.
Yeah,
I just have a hunch that like off the screen, if like one of these guys like walked into a bar and he was like good looking and stuff, I feel like he would like really get girls because he was wearing bunny ears.
Oh, I'm sure they pull. But also the thing about crews generally, I feel like this is the vibe of the moment, is like guys are always in crews, and it's like, I feel like they have no, like when they go out, they like don't want to talk to girls because they're like in love with the crew.
Yes, no, this is a very real phenomenon that I'm sure many of us have witnessed. When the boys get together, it's like hell on earth.
It's like, am I interrupting something? Like,
it feels intimate in like a weird way. Whereas, like, I mean, yeah, I'm glad that men are returning to this sort of vibe. I think it's important for them to, I like that Biz, you said it was very like inner child. Like, they're like connecting with their inner child by like getting together and like,
this is how we're going to solve the male loneliness epidemic, I think.
Actually,
I really do think this is like inner child healing content, because I guess I started thinking a lot about Tekashi 6ix9ine when Sam, you mentioned like how Yi is getting made fun of for getting the sillies, but like
the silly phobia is crazy.
But like 6ix9ine, I just feel like he is the antithesis of this, because he had a lot of silliness in his appearance, because obviously he had rainbow colored hair. He definitely referenced anime and stuff a lot in his work. But he was like literally a dark demon and evil. So I just feel like it'd be much better for a young man's preferred rapper to get the sillies with Zach Bia. And also, I do think it's good to model a lighthearted crew dynamic. It's just, it's really nice to think about men learning choreography together, I suppose.
But there's such a history of this. Like, we should talk a little bit about, I mean, for my youthful memory, I remember a time when the sillies were peak masculinity. for me, growing up in Texas, especially South Texas, in the early 2000s, like Dallas vibes, like South Dallas jigging and D-Town boogie was really dominant. And obviously, a lot of the style that these contemporary men are like kind of mimicking, they're like mimicking that Dirty South era of like baggy clothing. And I think that it spawned, it definitely was like behind the rise of Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy definitely took a lot of like cues from the baggy clothing, the irreverent childlike movements, definitely came from the South in that era of hip hop.
Yeah, I consulted with other male scholars of rap on this yes. topic online. As I was saying earlier, it's like a bit hard to sometimes really piece by piece track the pathway of the alternative rapper. I'm sure there are many great people who could do that, but that's not the purpose of today's episode. So, but like as the genre has matured, I've become interested in Tisa Korean, whose music and identity as an artist is like completely oriented around silliness. He's really inspired by Soulja Boy. He often wears the giant t-shirt and shorts combo, singing about stunner shades, all very mid-2000s. And perhaps crucially, he's always having such a good time dancing with a crew, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that is really probably activating some sort of childhood memory for a lot of people, because if you're a certain age, in it's a quite a large age bracket as well, but like you can remember doing the Soulja Boy dance with your friends and like having someone record it. So I feel like it's like sometimes your first memory of being recorded in a way, like for social media.
So true.
And he's just, yeah, he's very silly. He made a song called Static about McDonald's Sprite for a collab with McDonald's. Anyway, so my theory around silliness, which is silly, but first off, like the definition of getting silly, Soulja Boy has a song called Get Silly, but it's like very delightfully nuanced to me, because I'm pretty sure within rap it means like getting fucked up, right? Or like,
I think in certain circumstances, like I think other iterations of silly rap would be like Mac Dre, who famously popularized fizzing. Yeah, I think it's just like a big ecstasy, like Molly thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. There's so a lot you of get very candy-coated language, actually, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went on Urban Dictionary, actually, to figure out what Get Silly meant. But and then obviously getting silly means like getting goofy, which I think is now in the kind of modern reinterpretation of Soulja Boy's style, because we can look back on it and be like, oh, that was so silly. It feels sillier. But I also wanted to talk to you guys about this interesting research I found, which is like, have you guys heard the term snap music?
No.
No.
All right. So basically, it's also known as like ringtone rap or snap rap, which is a subgenre of hip hop that Soulja Boy is associated with, that derived from crunk in the southern United States in the 2000s, specifically in a neighborhood in West Atlanta. But it was popular for a while, obviously, with songs like Soulja Boy Tell 'Em, Crank That, blah, blah, blah. But also like Lean With It, Rock With It, Laffy Taffy. But I'll make this quick. But I basically just wanted to say like that Laffy Taffy in particular to me is really interesting, because I kind of didn't realize that when that song was out when we were kids, that it was actually kind of like a laughing stock for a while. Did you guys know that?
People thought it was, I think they just got really annoyed by, are you talking about Soulja Boy? Sorry, I like.
No, Laffy Taffy by.
Laffy Taffy by D4L.
Yeah.
D4L.
That makes sense to me.
I liked it a lot as a child, so, because I was a child when it came out.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
It's like that thing, there was also that song that's like, Does Your Chain Hang Low? Like, I think there was like a period of childish ass rap songs. And like, as a child, I was like, oh my God, yay. Like, this is literally like a schoolyard song.
Yeah, this is the way we ball.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, yeah, this seems to come around in like 10-year cycles or something, with the like playground rap of Lil Yachty and Kyle and stuff that came around in the pandemic era.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, so Laffy Taffy was, I guess, a good case study for this type of music, because it went from, like I said, kind of being a laughingstock in Atlanta to being a huge, huge song. And actually, a writer for The Times wrote about this in 2006, analyzing like why snap rap was really big on the charts but wasn't converting to sales, using Laffy Taffy as an example because it was the top of the charts. But sadly, now thinking about it, one of the lowest sales totals for a chart-topping act in years. But there was a quote that the writer said that I wanted to tell you guys, because I thought it was so prescient of the TikTok times, which is, for now, though, it seems as if snap music or snap rap or ringtone rap and digital downloads were made for each other, easy and cheap. Single song downloads are the musical equivalent of an impulse buy. So maybe it's no coincidence that the biggest digital download in history so far is a cheap sounding hip hop track named after a sugary snack that's traditionally found near the cash register. The silly little song about candy was neither as silly nor as little as it first seemed. And I, when I read that, which was written in 2006, I was just like really struck by like a potential connection to why this affect performs so well on TikTok, because she's essentially talking about what in their times was kind of considered like the TikTokification of music. It was like the iTunesification of music.
Yeah, downloading music in bite-sized clips is definitely the way that like TikTok kind of functions. We just kind of like shortened it by a few seconds or something. And I've always been like super fascinated by like Soulja Boy's like initial virality. I didn't know that like the way that he did it was he was like uploading his song Soulja Boy or Crank That on LimeWire under the name of a bunch of the top 40 hits. So it would be like Poker Face or like, and people would download it and it was just Crank That. And so he was basically like trolling. Yeah, he was just like trolling people while doing that. But this style is definitely like coming back in a really big way on TikTok. There's this guy that I'm obsessed with named Hurricane, who is very like ringtone rap-esque. I linked it in one of the things here, but like basically like he just has this like really well stylized room and dances the Dallas jig and like old style kind of 2000s dances. And he has like a little Nelly band-aid and like sunglasses on and a backwards cap. And he looks amazing. And also I've been seeing a lot of like weird videos from Brazil where like Y2K baggy Soulja Boy clothing and like Brazilian dance music is combined, which does really well on TikTok because I feel like Brazil is like the country king of TikTok. And Y2K style has also kind of like really dominated TikTok. And yeah, Tisa Korean also like, all his like Get Silly tour, he had like a sweatshirt that said Silly Ho on it from his tour. And like all of the guys from like the Busta Move side of TikTok are wearing that sweatshirt. So it's like they're definitely like very self-conscious about willfully being silly, you know, like they're actually like thinking about how silly they can get and how much sillier, like how silly can they make it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's definitely really good at the branding aspect of having a music career.
Yeah.
Because now we just like associate this word with him and it's like his thing.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for Tisa. Yeah. Texas legend.
He's from Texas?
Why is that his name?
Yeah, he's from Houston.
Not to be a Korean move, but what does he have to do with Korea?
I don't know. Maybe there's like a reason.
Maybe it's the same reason that a lot of these OPM fans are like obsessed with anime or something.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a backwards, somebody explained this to me.
Oh,
like,
really?
It's a something. It's a Korean or...
Oh, it's a Korean.
I don't know.
Oh, it's like somebody, an anagram for something.
It's like an anagram for something, but I don't quote me on that. I don't actually know.
Wait, the name Tisa Korean came from me always being amazed by things from Asia, such as anime, letters, etc. I wanted to use something from Asia to represent me.
What?
So I was literally right. I was like, you know how the OPM fans love anime? It's probably that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, they're really obviously like, yeah, I do know he was from Texas, but that makes a lot of sense. But I guess to finish my historical retrospective on snap rap, I also read that snap rap is said to be like a reaction against the disparity of the neighborhood that it emerged in, which is Bankhead and West Atlanta. So I read a piece by Rondell Conway for Vibe magazine in 2006, where he covered Snap Rap and interviewed some of its key members. And he said, according to those involved, what's being called Snap Rap was born sometime around 2001 in Bankhead on the west side of Atlanta. Not to be mistaken with the city's affluent Buckhead neighborhood, Bankhead's crime-infested blocks are a testimony to America's growing separation between the haves and have-nots. In the midst of all the aggression, bow-throwing, and mean mugging, a lighter sound emerged. Now, thanks to the combined efforts of franchise D4L and others, Bankhead has become ground zero of a real live movement. And I thought that was really interesting to think about this kind of somewhat frivolous, lighter sounding music emerging as a reaction to really difficult times, which makes sense given the hard times rocking our nation today.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to dance
is to love.
Is to love, but it's also like free, you know? Like, it's just one of those things that. Stupid.
No, it's true.
No, it's so no, true. That's why like,
you
that.
See
that's
kids so like dancing in the street.
Yeah, and it's just like you. There's no equipment required. Like, I think that it's, I it feels like a low IQ take, but I don't know.
No, but it's so true because it's like I'm gonna say something else low IQ, which is like the 70s, like inflation crisis and like disco or like
yeah,
something
I mean,
like
the
that.
70s
you know,
are, like
there's
something
time there.
To live in
know.
New York. Like old people who live here still talk about how shit it was, and I'm like, okay, but. Then why were y'all getting so groovy?
Yeah, like actually, yeah, there's something there that we just will unpack in the Discord, I guess. The Discord tech, exactly. Can we talk a little bit about Chief Keef dressing? I'm obsessed with this trend. I think it's so funny. And I think also we might have had some sort of, we have a hand in this, not Ooh. Fully for the male side, but we do have personally a hand in some of the Chief Keef dressing TikToks, and I wanted to kind of take accountability, apologize to the general public, or promote our podcast through this trend slash, you know, whatever. But basically, I was scrolling through TikTok, as I obviously often do, and started seeing a litany of fit pics, fit checks, and like weird little TikToks of little like 16-year-old bike boys collecting these like knockoff like rugby polos and sagging True Religion jeans and saying that they're starting to dress like Chief Keef to go to their parents' wedding, their grandfather's funeral, their job interview. And it's just like a huge trend right now for some reason is collecting Chief Keef polos. And it's like kind of spawning a whole discourse in itself. I thought it was going to be more controversial than it actually was because it is these kids like literally in the suburbs and like mid-century modern like living rooms, you know, dressing up like Chief Keef, like posted up, you know?
Yeah.
But actually the discourse and the controversy behind these videos is that these kids can never get the shoes right somehow. Like everyone's always freaking out. Like, how are you wearing Ricks with True Religion jeans? Like, that's not the right way of doing it. And like, you know, just every single video, they cannot get the shoes right. I just wanted to say that. But I think that this is like 2014 nostalgia for rap fans. Like this is the chokehold of 2014.
Yeah.
Like the Cthulian hold of 2014 is like reaching the For You pages of 16-year-old white rap fans that are dressing like Chief Keef. And also I think there's like other iterations of this trend that are not related to Chief Keef, but it's literally the exact same outfit. Like the polo, the True Religion jeans, and like a spiky belt. And it was a trend that came up in 2011 that's kind of like being reemerged in like kind of like more Mexican side of TikTok, which is like the La Barbie polo. There was this narco named La Barbie who was arrested in Mexico. And he had that fit on in his like press photos because in Mexico, whenever like you're arrested and you're like a high profile person, they just like bring you out for press photos, like a press conference. But he was wearing like literally the Chief Keef outfit. Mm. And so now people on like the more Mexican side of TikTok are dressing that way. So it's like kind of interesting that this fit specifically has had such a chokehold or is starting to have such a chokehold with like Gen Z or even Gen Alpha boys, you know?
Yeah, that's such an interesting cycle in terms of the signaling that's always been done through polos, right? Because obviously it's like, it's supposed to be like the smaller the polo pony is, like the more money you have, right? But now it's like, yeah, the mid-century modern suburban kids are wearing like the giant polo, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it's not just them. I think it's just one kid who's like really forefronting and like kind of driving this trend. And he has like the most baby faced, like fucking like Austin Butler ass face, you know? And it's like,
yeah, to be fair, I do know some guys that were born like in the 2000s that kind of dress like the somewhat UK-ified version of this.
Yeah, I was seeing, as I was researching the Chief Keef trend, I was seeing a lot of discourse about how Chief Keef is like fashion influence really hit the UK in a really strong way. I didn't dive deep enough into it, but it was a UK rapper who said that he discovered Chief Keef when he was like first blowing up. They were both 16 years old and he started kind of like dressing just like Chief Keef and it became kind of like a UK thing.
Yeah.
But Chief Keef was like the originator of all of this, according to
I'm looking at pictures
Chief
of
Keef fans.
Central C. I mean, this is good because I'm kind of over the like Nike Tech wave.
Yeah.
Central C is very that. Like he's just always in some matching Nike Tech suit.
Yeah, people are pitting Chief Keef and Central C against each other in these edits, actually.
The style.
It's
style.
Interesting that you brought that up. Yeah, it's actually interesting that you brought that up. I saw a couple TikToks like that. Like, I'm a C. Like, it was like a scroll. It was like, I'm a C, and it was like a Central C photo. And then you scroll next, and it's like Chief Keef fan or whatever.
Whoa.
And it's like a Chief Keef photo, yeah.
Yeah, but the Chief Keef thing is really fascinating. And this is also, like, something else that we wanted to talk about is the... like the fact that there's always some like baby faced white kid who's like coming up in the underground rap scene.
Yes.
There's a kid currently named Netspend and he's kind of like the new Matt Ox, but it feels like Yeet is also like a figure in there. These like white kids that just like always, they're very enigmatic and like they always seem kind of fucked up. Like, and
they're always children too. They're always serious. It's like child rappers. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll link the video, but there's this one video of Netspend like in a bathroom, like doing a money spread and like just doing all of the rapper stuff. But he literally is like 12.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of like they should have been in the club. Like these kids need to be studying for the PSAT. Like it's just like I don't know where they come from. I don't know where their parents are. This is like a big thing with Yeet also. People were just like, oh, he's like secretly a rich kid. But I think that's starting to be less of a concern. Once you get to this point of like sonic innovation, no one really cares.
Yeah.
It's just like the general like anti-gatekeeping attitude that seems to be coming out of this stuff.
Yeah, I feel like the young ingenue archetype or whatever, or what do you, what, like, I don't know, like the young, brilliant kind of like, I don't know, like genius, like a person that's like born genius, like that's, that archetype is still very strong in rap music. Mm-hmm. Like the Chief Keef was also a child rapper. Like he started when he was 16, as everybody likes to remind everybody, you know, like everyone was like a lot of these like kind of underground rappers that blow up and are really influential, I think, have like, that sort of like mystique, the Greta Thunberg drip. Yeah. Child prodigy. Yeah. The Greta Thunberg mystique.
Greta Thunberg and Matt Ox need to link up. I mean, it's interesting. I feel like a lot of this stuff used to just be like so memey and like so obviously a joke. Like Lil Tay, I think, did irreparable damage on the child prodygy rap community.
Because
everyone was just like, oh, you're like an industry plant and like you're not actually. It was just like that like troll era of 6ix9ine and like Lil Pump that was really unserious and not in like a good way.
It was in like a violent way.
It was violent.
Very violent.
And it was also just like, it almost felt like disrespectful to Black people. It felt like they were just like making a joke out of the whole thing. But
yeah,
I feel like these, like Matt Ox is like really, like something about their seriousness. Like I think they're so locked in. Like they don't do interviews. They don't do press. They just go viral purely for like their music and like weird vibe, but not from like their antics. You know what I mean? Like they're very not antic.
yeah
when I was at a dinner with Matt Ox, he had like no clout, like awareness, energy.
They're not like provocateurs
sense.
At all. Yeah,
like he wasn't reacting to people, he wasn't like wanting you, he hadn't, it was like he wasn't even there, to be honest.
Go Mavs, give us nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to him. I was like, I saw him a couple years ago and was very concerned for his demeanor and state. Like, he was just incredibly fried and like young. Like, it just like struck me how young he was. And I felt like this maternal impulse to like pull him away from these people that were like feeding him like strange bottles of liquids and like giving him like a huge blunt to smoke on. And I was like, somebody save this child. Like,
put on the creature world hat and like embrace joy.
Actually, he needs to get sillier.
You don't see these kids smile, really.
Yeah, no, Maddox is, he's seen some shit. Yeah, he's been.
It's actually funny because I met him at this Ashley Williams show. And
that is so random. Like, that's so funny.
Yeah, he opened the show.
What?
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
what?
But he walked the show, and so did Bloody Clip. But basically, he opened the show as like a character based off like the Grim Reaper, and he was wearing that. And but I swear to God, he was holding a staff that Hello Kitty carved into the top of it.
Dude, he was so ahead of the times. He was literally like the wizard summoning the vibe, like in that moment. Like the staff hit the ground and like it was like Moses parting the Red Sea.
I guess it was actually Ashley Williams, but like regardless, very symbolic. And actually a lot of her work is like very much, I think, attractive to this sort of style, because it obviously combines a lot of elements of like darkness with the hyper cutes. Sorry, I just had a vision of that staff in my head.
Yeah,
I need
he
that.
Did it the right way. Sam Smith did it the wrong way. Maddox did it the right way.
There's I feel like we've been talking a lot about gender recently, and I was actually just thinking, like, Alexa, you mentioned Lil Tay, obviously being someone who, I mean, not only were people disgusted by her behavior, but it came to a point where people were like, CPS needs to be called, right?
Yeah,
and she recently came back with a new song, but also this like expose video, like exposing her stepdad and
yeah shit. It makes me feel like women just can't win in this area.
Yeah,
and also, but I would love another bad baby.
I would too. She almost feels like so unique. She actually does feel like somebody that cannot not ever be replicated, because her cycle was so organic. Like, even Lil Tay was like an offshoot of the bad baby movement. Yes. You know,
so riding on her coattails.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like it's just like not easy to mimic that.
You know who does spark joy though in a similar way is Pink Pantheress. I feel like she has that fruit of her arrow, like mysterious persona, but she is smiling and she's like very online.
She's very silly.
She is very silly.
But she's silly like in that sweet kind of,
she's like, you know, a human just seems sunny like a huge angel. Sweet.
Yeah, she's a human sunny angel. Yeah, her dimples, like, she does spark joy. Yeah.
Even when she first went viral, and that's obviously how her career started on TikTok, her videos were all anonymous, but they would be like, it'd be like a close-up of her face, like with her eye bulging out, basically doing the face when you stick your tongue out, like the Gen Z tongue thing. But I was like, oh my God, that is, it's part of her origin.
Mm-hmm.
Her silliness. Wow. Well, what's next?
What's next, guys?
Yeah, I really do want to like somehow Simon Cowell, a silly girl rapper.
Oh, I'm just
there's this girl Leigh Banks who's kind of similar. I don't know.
I guess like a lot of the things about Ice Spice are silly, but it never feels silly to me. It feels different.
Yeah, she feels very dead. She seems dead serious like whenever she's talking about things. She's like lighthearted but very serious about her work.
Also,
you know?
Her whole thing is just so sexualized. Like, I want a girl to like wear big clothes like this.
Yes,
I guess Billie Eilish is dressed like that.
No, because Billie Eilish literally dressed like Soulja Boy for like the first.
Everyone really clowned on her for
10 years of her career.
But I just I think there's like a female rap. I think, I don't know. I remember this song a couple years ago called "Hey Molly" by Big Molly that was a little silly, and it wasn't very sexual. It was just very much like a silly kind of ding dong ass song or whatever that was like fun, but also like she was like, I'm gonna shoot you or something like that. Was good.
There's like a new song that's like a female rap version of Jolene that's like, I would have shot Jolene.
Oh yeah, I would have shot Jolene. That's silly. That is silly. Well, Sexy Red girls? Is so silly. Oh, no guys, true. Sexy Red is so silly. She's a silly rapper.
That is true. Yeah.
I totally forgot about her. I love her so much. She is a silly girl. Yeah, she's a silly girl that's like holding it down for everybody.
She does also have like that like OG kind of like a hood SpongeBob thing about her, you know?
Yeah,
like
she's got Dominion or the Bob. Yeah.
The glasses that are like the 3D glasses. Like she has that type of like nerdcore thing going, but in a different way than the office siren, obviously.
Yeah, I really wanted that. She was in my inspiration for wanting to do a nerdcore episode, which we might still do at some point in the future. Mm-hmm, but like, yeah. I really think that her nerdcore style is just...
Still, she's like trapped by the male gaze. Like, I just want the same level of freedom. I'm literally like the Portlandia meme that's like, when the girls are dancing.
Let them speak.
Yeah, does she have a degree?
Does anybody want to see my master's
degree? Female rappers shouldn't have to twerk. Like, I just think it sucks that that is expected of them.
But I feel like Sexy Red doesn't do it because it's expected of her. Like, she genuinely does it for the love of the game. And, like, I just feel like she's such a irreverent, like, she seems like a very genuinely, like, joyful person that, like, exudes, like, hilarity. And I don't know. I'm sounding like that fucking meme of, like, what was it? Like, the whimsical gentleman, that guy from... That like TikTok soundbite from that guy from Succession. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. He's a merry prankster.
Yeah, merry prankster. That's me talking about Sexy Red. She's a merry prankster.
A whimsical gentleman.
I'm gonna remember.
Is a merry prankster. He was obsessed with saying that on that press tour, and I don't even know what the fuck he was talking about. Yeah, I'm just such a fan. So I'm just like, guys, like, you don't have to show your boobs, like, you wear a big shirt.
I agree with you fundamentally, but I genuinely think, like, Sexy Red is doing it out of her own volition, and, like, she's doing something that, like, nobody else is doing. I think she's such a brilliant person who just wants to bring joy into people's lives.
I think her, like, her maintenance of, like, being pretty lo-fi, like, I think a lot of female rappers start doing their, like, hair and makeup the same way and kind of, like, all merge together, but she has a very distinct look that's not that. But I feel like Ice Spice is also the same way. Like, they just both have a new type of visual.
I think it's just because they are new rappers. I saw Glorilla talk about this with Charlotte Monch about, like, how long it takes to actually, like, glow up if you blow up as a rapper.
Wow.
She was like, yeah, it took me, like, a year and a half because you kind of, like, really need to go through the process of, like, kind of the industry standard of external beauty, and that's like its own thing. So if you go viral, like, your visual is not going to be super hi-fi for the first, like, year of your career, I think.
Wow. I would love to listen to that.
Yeah, it was an interesting interview.
I feel like people don't really talk about the, like, looks maxing side of rap as much. I mean, I guess they do sometimes, comparing, like, SZA's before and afters and stuff like that, but
yeah.
Do you guys think Bobby Altoff has any? I feel like she's dimming the silliness of,
our
beloved rappers.
I know.
Yeah, I agree with you.
She's an anti-silly force.
Honestly, kick rocks.
I agree.
Because I just feel like if your whole mission is to make things awkward, then you can never embrace the silliness.
I know, and I hate when people compare her to Chicken Shop Girl because she's a real silly girl.
She's the real silly girl, yeah.
Yeah. She overall is an obstacle to this movement, even the way she dances. Horrible.
She dances?
Well, like, yeah, can you just imagine what she would look like when she was dancing?
Yeah, I can. I don't want her to make big movements. I feel like it would make me uncomfortable. Like, she needs to kind of maintain a small movement. She needs kind of, like, a small circle around her. It's, like, what I can imagine.
Also, like, the fact that she got work done and was, like, immediately so publicly negative about it.
What did she say?
She, like, got a bunch of fillers, and then she, like, immediately made a video being like, guys, I look crazy, but then, like, still has them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she just seems, like, very, like, I don't want to say insecure, but just, like, very unsure of, like, what her vibe is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it might be a similar thing because people were saying that about Ice Spice whenever she performed at Rolling Loud, where, like, she blew up and then, like, a couple weeks later they put her on stage at Rolling Loud and everyone was like, oh my God, this girl's a terrible performer. And everyone else was like, she just hasn't been, like publicity
developed
trained.
Developed as
like,
an artist. Yeah. I mean, I do think this mode is going to become more popular again of, like, apprenticeship, like, classic Usher, Justin Bieber type shit because... Mm-hmm. There have been so many criticisms of, like, no one wants to develop artists these days. They just, like, get a viral song immediately or, like, on stage. And there has been, like, a collapse of stage presence generally. I mean, this is why, like, I think the Drain Gang stuff stayed underground or just, like, isn't going to be remembered very fondly in like the annals of time is because I like saw them live, and the fact is they just have like no like stage presence. Like Echo 2K kind of slays, but like they don't really like sing, you know, like they like whisper and mumble and like they just like stand around weirdly. I think we're gonna return to like, this is my big prediction, is that like Justin Timberlake and like Usher and Justin Bieber type figures are gonna come back around, because those guys can really like sing, you know, like Mariah Carey style male singing, and also dance in a way that like they don't need like 40 background dancers. Like it would make just as much of an impact if they were in like a living room versus like on a stadium stage. Like they're really just have that sauce.
You're really getting your money's worth with them.
Yeah. Maybe this is like a part of the theater kid things. We like really need people who can like sing and dance for real.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. No, I want to actually like go back to what you said about kind of like the apprenticeship thing, because I actually do think there's something that's brewing from this.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, it's a classic thing in rap of like someone putting someone else on. And
but the thing is that like it's right now, especially with the media cycle right now with P. Diddy and his trial and kind of like Usher being Diddy's kind of like apprentice. And then same thing with like even like Lil Wayne and Birdman. Like I think that's like a kind of a classic kind of clickbaity type conspiracy, which not to say conspiracy, like I actually fully believe a lot of these allegations, but like I think that we've just like gone through so many cycles of like discourse about like apprenticeship versus grooming and versus like kind of like taking advantage of others, that like we do kind of, I feel like we're kind of suspicious of people putting other people on because we've been so traumatized like by other stories in the past, you know.
That's kind of like a Nicki Minaj thing. Like I feel like she refuses to put anyone on.
Yeah, but that hasn't worked out for her.
Yeah. No, it hasn't. Well, she would try. She just like picked the wrong people, kind of. Like she actually would try to put people on. Like that's all that she was doing for the past like 3 or 4 years. Yeah, like she would just platform the wrong people. Like I think she just didn't have a very good predictive energy when it came to the people that she collaborated with.
She's also just like a shady diva, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like the masculinity of this trend or affect, like it kind of precludes shady divaness, to be honest. Like it's such like a, I don't know, just like you're moving in sync with another person.
Yeah, it's very much like kind of army-esque. Like it feels like the male impulse, like men used to go to war, like now they're just like creating dance crews and like strategizing like their outfits and kind of like matching them together, you
know? I would love to see some sort of expose on any of these TikTok male dance crews, and like one of them's a bully or something. They're like boot camping each other, you know what I mean? Like you didn't get that.
But I think the amazing thing is that they like came from all across the country and just like randomly know how to dance, and then they like met in LA and the world has never been the same since. Like I believe in the goodness of them.
Yeah, I feel like there's like a strong anti-bullying current within their community, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like, true. I feel like they tend to be very like toxic positivity, like
yeah
like Flower Boy.
Yeah, it's giving Flower Boy a little bit, because there is like the cute kind of adorable little side of it.
It's also giving, you know? Like I love my friends, you know, which like is such a common mode of
toxic community on earth.
Yeah, I mean like young people who are constantly like I love my friends, like, you know, don't we all love our friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah
that's just that. I do feel like that is a male thing to say though, right? Because they were like, they're trying to overcompensate for being socialized to not say I love you bro,
not hold hands like they do in
these other
countries. I mean, I guess like other things that just popped into my head is like the cartoonish aspect of this obviously influencing the movement vocabulary of the dances, right? Where it just feels very much influenced by like cartoon aesthetics, which I think generally like Cartoon Network core.
Yeah, it's like Codename Kids Next Door and like Ed, Edd n Eddy. That era of animation was very like disgusting to me. Like I couldn't watch any of it.
That's why my mom didn't let me watch it. My mom didn't let me watch it because she said it trained children to like ugly things. Same with SpongeBob. everything on Cartoon Network, it wasn't because it was inappropriate. And like, she still stands by that to this day. She was like, it trains children to like ugly things.
SpongeBob isn't ugly to me.
Yeah, to her, it was. He's not ugly to me either. I actually like a lot of the aesthetics, but my mom didn't.
The world of SpongeBob was much more lush and beautiful. But
yeah, I mean, also the implications, I think there's something to be said about like cartoon urbanism. Like, a lot of cartoons, Hey Arnold and like Edda and Eddie, they're like navigating these kind of like distorted, hallucinogenic cities that are fun but a little bit dark-sided. I don't know, it's like the whole thing of cartoons is like you're seeing, not to get into like coma theory, but you're like seeing the world through a child's eyes type of thing. And I feel like that's the way that these like kids are experiencing the world themselves.
That is
like, they're
so
really
true.
Seeing buildings like jumping around and shit.
Ugh, I love that term, cartoon urbanism. Love that.
Thank you. I just made it up.
That was brilliant.
I said thank you, I designed it.
Yeah, anything else, guys?
I want to buy a ringtone now. I mean, like, no one does ringtones anymore.
Yeah, did you guys ever have what ringtone? I Snap Your Fingers was a ringtone that I had on my phone that I remember I paid money for it and I got in huge trouble.
I had Boom Boom Pow for a while. I remember I got in trouble because it was a part of it that said shit in it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, I think it's really funny, like the kind of way that we remember and kind of interpret early 2000s rap is so childlike because it is such a strong, it has such strong childhood connotations for this generation, you know?
But in this guy's, there's this guy called Matt Miller who did his PhD on the Dirty South and rap music, and I think specifically in New Orleans. But let me just pull up his thesis one second.
That's another New Orleans too. Yeah, Boosie coming back as like the internet's favorite uncle. Like,
I mean, remember that video of the white guy in New Orleans, the like pretty in the face, but she's super thick.
She's super thick.
Like,
yeah, thinking with my dick, the thing.
White guy.
Yeah, that had a very snap right trajectory because everyone was like, he's so hot, he's so sexy. And then they realized that when he took his hat off or whatever, that he was not attractive to them and he looked like he owned a lower tier car dealership or something.
I think a lower tier car dealership hired him to promote their cars.
Oh, really?
That's what that was. What
yeah, okay, fine.
Which is very like, isn't that like that's like a plot line in Eastbound and Down, which is why I thought it was so funny, is like a car dealership hiring you to like promote their cars.
Yeah, so this is what I found in this guy's, it's actually not his thesis, it's something he wrote for a Southern journal. So he's talking about Snap Rap and Laffy Taffy, and he says their infectious song Laffy Taffy started, like I said earlier, like how it was initially a kind of hip-hop laughing stock to mainstream juggernaut. Like many erotically themed songs within the African-American popular music tradition, Laffy Taffy is constructed with layers of meaning which allow for children to enjoy the participatory sing-along nature of the song while allowing adults access to a raunchier realm of meaning contained within the lyrics. So yeah, I guess that's like, you know, a thing, potentially.
Yeah.
According to Matt Miller.
Innuendo and like double meaning, yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely... Because even there is a Hot Cheetos and Takis, which went super viral. Yeah, being a kid, I felt super lucky to have grown up in Corpus Christi during the Dirty South era. I like was telling Fizz Alexi my first concert was Baby Bash and Fat Joe at Bayfest in Corpus Christi. Like it just like really dominated Corpus for some reason. Obviously it being kind of South Texas, but yeah, I have a lot of fond memories of this. And then kind of, you know, the music was deeply inappropriate for children to be listening to, but it was very... It had the kids in their chokehold, you know. I feel like that was like the main audience. Like, I didn't feel like an adult, like media form, but maybe that was just because I was a child.
No, like, but like, it's like, it's the same thing as the cartoon urbanism. Like,
yeah,
it really makes you feel like you are accessing media that's made for you. But then, of course, when you watch these cartoons, like Hey Arnold, as an adult or as a teenager, like, oh, there's like an innuendo, or there's like, especially with SpongeBob, like, okay, that's not
Hey Arnold was like living in poverty with like a weird grandpa. No, like, it I think the implication is like a lot of these children were neglected. It's also like everyone's obsessed with the Florida Project right now. And they're like, I lived through the Florida Project, but like, I thought it was so fun. I was playing with all my friends, but I realized it was neglected, like that type of thing. But whatever. Nothing's going to stop children from dancing to Laffy Taffy at a school talent show.
Oh, yeah. I guess one thing I wanted to mention was Timothée Chalamet's high school class.
Little Timmy, yeah.
Little Timmy. And also him doing his cover of Monster by Nicki Minaj. Like, that was just random.
I know. Like,
oh, my God, yeah.
I think...
Did you guys see those photos of him at the Nymphomaniac premiere in, like, the Galaxy joggers?
Yeah. Oh, my God. He should have been... at the school, you know, like he's kind of like the Matt Ox of acting. It's like, why were you doing like a gay sex movie at that age?
Dude, literally, like, that is exactly what he was. He was the Matt Ox of acting. Like, it was so weird when I, yeah, anyways, but
yeah, he, I also think that specifically with how long those videos of him at his talent show rapping have been going viral for, like, they're still funny if you watch them. And they're never not doing the rounds, basically. That was definitely a point in my head where I was like, oh, nah, this is timeless. Like, it's, it really speaks to something deeper. Not so only, okay, also, he's not only wearing giant clothes, but he also shuffles and Dougies. And he's just doing so he many different
the,
types
the chop.
Of... Yeah, he does the chop. Yeah, and it's like, oh my God, okay, wow.
Everything.
He also embraces it, which I like. I like that he has enough of a sense of humor to embrace those videos.
Yeah, remaining. He's a real man.
And his old like Xbox modifier. He recently like presented an award at some like game. It was kind of like the Megan Thee Stallion Crunchyroll thing. He presented an award at like a game awards thing and like referenced the fact that he had this like Xbox YouTube channel that had like 2 views where he would like make custom Xbox controllers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember really this. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, gaming is a big part of this. I see a lot of Fortnite song parodies on my For You page. Those are incredible. The song Carnival by Kanye West, the like new song, I feel like is also very silly core.
Yeah, that's also the army-esque kind of crew vibe. Really shines whenever Carnival is being played on TikTok. Like, I think it's just like a bunch of guys getting together wearing black and chanting.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't really like that song that much. Like, I liked the clips that are being proliferated across TikTok, but the entire song, I didn't really like it, actually. The chanting part gave me an ick for some reason. Like, I didn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Kanye West hired, like, a bunch of, I think it's, like, the Milan Football Club fans to, like, do this chanting. And everyone was like, whoa, this is so fire. Like, it was just a real, like, boys club moment. But I don't know, like, do I actually care? I'm just like way too much of a feminist to like any song where it's just like she gives me head, you know what I mean? I don't know why
it
I'm feeling
to have
so
like childlike intonations, like Laffy Taffy.
I don't know why I'm feeling so like Fred Armisen in a wig right now, but I just can't.
I'm, I'm like obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with your yeah.
Thank you.
There's I'm just went the other day to a feminist bookstore called Book Woman in Austin, which
I need to
I feel
work
like
it's
very much the, yeah, I feel like that's where you should apply for work. Yeah, shout out to Book Woman in Austin.
I love ideological bookstores. Like,
me too.
Yeah.
Like, witch bookstores, feminist bookstores, communist bookstores. We need to keep those alive.
Yeah, we do. Oh, it's so hard to. Like, those used to be kind of all over the place.
Yeah,
I think there was, like, a conspiracy theory bookstore that that closed a couple years ago in Austin, and people really were up in arms about it. But
and that's a conspiracy in itself.
Yeah.
It was never really there.
Yeah, it was on Guadalupe Street, which is a big street in Austin, and that's where the new Scientology building is now. So
yeah, you guys should take that conspiracy seriously, probably.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
I don't think I have anything left to say. I just want to get up and bust a move because it's 60 degrees out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You should.
It's a beautiful day, yeah.
Should we do some would you rathers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is going to be good. I know you got something in the chamber.
Me? I'm nervous now.
Would you rather be a child rapper or the factory worker who makes all of the Kerwin Frost McDonald's Fry Guy clogs?
That sounds like a terrible job.
Yeah. Both of them kind of do.
Yeah.
I mean, I would rather be a child rapper because I love attention. But I also love education. I mean, like, when would I be in school? I mean, I'm sure I wonder if Matt Ox did the, like, child star thing of, like, studying in the trailer, but I really, really doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His mom
was a teen mom, though, and I feel like she would be like, no, we're going to make you get your GED. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure, really.
I feel like I would honestly choose the Fry Guy clogs factory worker because I feel like that job has an end. Like, I could quit when the promotion is over, but child rapper is forever, you know, so
yeah, that's very true.
And then I just get famous in another way, you know, if I really wanted to. I feel like I would.
Yeah, and we've also seen with Backpack Kid, like, some of the trajectories that you can take as a child rapper, which aren't savory. He's not a rapper, but you know what I mean, like,
yeah, like child
that star. Sort of figure, it can be very unsavory.
I have no idea what he's going through right now. I mean, weirdly, Maddie B is kind of like coming back.
Oh my god, yes. People love him.
Yeah. I see people... he like embraces the cringe a little bit.
Yeah, he does. He's kind of self-referential about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's like the male Madison Beer. I mean, they were like occupying the same space, so I think he is maybe is
so true.
He also
following the beer print.
He looks really physically healthy, I feel.
He does.
So, and he has a lot of vitality to
him. He kind of mugs.
Yeah, he does. And I think that's...
He does mog.
Because he doesn't look like a skinny little kid. Like, he looks like he's matured in a healthy, normal way. I feel like that makes him feel less creepy or sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather Dominion or DaBob?
DaBob.
Kind of more DaBob, yeah.
DaBob.
Yeah, I think for a long time I had that feeling of what your mom had when you were a kid and was like, you know, Despicable Me is teaching children to love ugly things, but I, as you guys know, I've come around on that. But I think I would still rather have the Bob.
Yeah, I mean, the Bob is my childhood. Also, have you guys heard like the AI rapping SpongeBob songs? Those are like really big these days.
So good. Yeah, it actually, they're so good. And Patrick too.
Yeah,
I heard, like, what's that Baby Keem song with like Kendrick Lamar?
I don't know.
I heard a version of
ones
of
them singing gospel songs where it's like Sandy versus Plankton.
Let us over the reach.
Literally. Something about Plankton's voice. I mean, he is like a really incredible gospel singer.
I thought you were going to say he's a really incredible bisexual. Because he is like that bisexual. He has the bisexual villain thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's like the gay-coded villain for sure.
Yeah, Randall from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, so true. Would you rather become Usher's new protege and he teaches you how to glitch dance and like brings you out on stage or join the Bust a Move crew? But you have to be their cameraman first, which is a hard job because they're always doing like these crazy like camera moves and angles.
Mm. God, I'm like kind of scared of Usher a little bit.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time.
I love him. I love him so much. I love his music.
I love him so much.
These are my confessions, but
the love search I got during the Super Bowl was crazy.
That was the best thing ever. I really like and Ludacris brought the Afro back, which I was really happy about.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that halftime show so much. But yeah, I mean, obviously I would do that because it just feels like a more like financially viable career path than being. But I feel like I would have more fun.
With the Bust a Move kids, yeah.
With the Bust a Move kids, yeah.
Mm.
But I have to get serious, you know? I have to get serious about things, so.
I'm going to be Usher's Jay-Z. $1 million question.
What about you, Biz?
I don't know. Once again, I was just thinking about like the girl version of being a goofy but technically proficient dancer and what happens to you. And I was just thinking of Allison Stoner.
Allison Stoner, ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So she could really throw down, but I don't want to be her. And is that my option or do I get to sing too?
I mean, if you're training under Usher, you do definitely get vocal training.
Okay, I get vocal training. Okay. I guess I'll take that then. If I can sing.
Yeah, I think I would also go the Usher route, just because I like know that he would have you in like an empty dance studio with like sweatpants with one leg rolled up, and you'd be like going through things over and over again.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Channing Tatum and how he was like the forefather of the funky white boy dancers.
Yeah, I mean, even before that, Saturday Night Fever. There's just, it's such Fever. A long
Barry Gibb
history.
B-Boys.
Barry Gibb. Yeah, I'm also thinking of like Bobby Caldwell. He's like the OG like white guy who everyone thought was black, right?
Yeah, and then also the Rickroll guy, what's his name?
Oh,
everyone thought he was Rick Astley. The guy who sings Play That Funky Music, White Boy, is white. And I found that out 2 days ago. I didn't know that.
It was about himself.
Is there anyone it was like literally this right now where like you hear their voice and you think they're black? We didn't talk about Jack Harlow, but he's not even that, TBH.
No, but he's about to be in a remake of White Man Can't Jump, and I'm really excited.
Oh my God.
I'm like so excited for that. I don't know. I think it's just we're such a visual heavy culture right now that there's no way that you'd be taken
by surprise. You often see people before you hear their music, even, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah. Or they're like, really owning their music by singing along to it in a video or something like that, in a TikTok. Yeah. Would you guys rather? Give me a second. Okay. Let me make sure I got my details right. Okay. I wanna ask you guys, would you rather marry Max or would you rather marry the main guy from Laundry Day?
Oh, the one who looks like Andy Samberg?
Yeah.
Honestly, he's so cute.
Okay. Guys, these are not like, neither of these people are my type. Like I like shout out to them, but like, I really
want the Bob.
I want the Mexican OT. I'm revoking my crush, guys. I saw a video where he was talking about how he pooped his pants. And I was like, okay, I can't. And I was like, okay, I don't have a crush on you.
Okay. That is so funny. Okay, yeah. I think I'm taking the Laundry Day kid, but honestly, like that, like their whole vibe. And their whole like sense of humor is so like from when I was in college, like Biz, I feel like you remember the time that we were college students in New York, like being like into punk rock in that way was like very much a thing, you know, like being
not naming names, but we have some names to name,
doing like a silly like pop punk Sum 41 type of voice, like every little skater was obsessed with doing stuff like that, so it's nostalgic even. I feel like
I completely agree.
It reminds me of when I was a kid, for real. I also think they're pretty young, but they also have like a somewhat Brockhampton-esque like squadliness about them. Also, why do they have a documentary that played at like film forum? I'm like, sorry, but what? They did like Laundry Day in the documentary, and I'm like, what? I'm sorry, but what could possibly be in this movie? Like, is it just like their TikToks?
What? Dude, shout out to them. They're so creative.
So what's your answer? Who are you marrying?
Oh, I forgot the question. I don't actually know what... Yeah, I don't know what Max looks like.
He's kind of got like an everyman face for sure. He's a chameleon.
I feel like the Laundry Day guy would be more likely to cheat on you.
No.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, yes, I think so, yeah.
It's so true. So he's got cheating physiology.
I don't know. He just like
he has that like he's getting faithful to me. I don't know.
I don't know if he's faithful.
What if he hears this, guys? I'm scared.
I know. I honestly feel like everyone involved is going to hear this. He's like, no one is like analyzing.
I just spit my drink out.
Wait, let me look at Max again.
I literally just did like a spit take. I was like, fuck. Okay.
I guess. I would marry Laundry Day. What? I don't know.
His name is Jude.
It's really hard. A name.
Sam, you're getting Emma degree.
Soulja Boy. Yeah, I want to
marry him. No, I actually don't want to marry him. I don't know. He was a teenage rapper for sure.
He was a child rapper.
He was a child rapper. So
the child rapper like universe is so funny. Chief Keef. People are gonna get mad that I call him a child rapper, but tell me that a 16-year-old is not a child.
I would say that's a child rapper. Yeah, I mean,
that's a child
rapper.
It gets
really young, like obviously pre-puberty, but most of these guys start obviously when they're in their mid-teens.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that feels like a really great place to end today's episode.
Let's get silly, guys.
I definitely got the sillies.
Yeah, same. I got the sillies too.
I tested positive for the sillies today.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for listening.
Yes.
Yeah, excited to hear your thoughts. I also have like an Usher-esque protege musically.
What?
Who, well, he's not actually my protege, but there's a musician that I think is... I sent him to you guys today.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Maybe I'll let that be a cliffhanger. And if you message me on Discord, I'll put you on.
Yeah, this guy's going to be really big. Alexi has discovered him.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
The dance flow's silly. The ladies gon' feel me. The fellas in the back. And they twisting up a filly. Get silly. Hey. 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 Get silly.